Whatever your need is, one of the best ways to bring God glory is to bring Him your need and to worship Him for what He is doing and what He's about to do. And we will take time here in a little bit to do that. And please, please come and let God have His way. I also want to say, especially to those that are part of our church family, last Sunday, and of course, even New Year's Eve, even though I was not preaching, the Word of God was so helpful for our direction as a church. So I urge you, especially if you're in ministry, to get access. You can get it on Facebook, and then there's even other ways. It won't cost you anything. You can even listen to these messages as you're driving down the road. But the last two messages, we didn't start the new year today. So you'll benefit from those messages if you can make that happen. Matthew 22 and verse 14. Let's read this out loud together. It's not a long verse, and it's very important that we think about this today. I just feel like God wants to speak something to us from this simple verse. Matthew 22 and verse 14. Let's read it out loud. For many are called, but few are chosen. I want to preach, many are called. Many are called. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. God, I don't want this to be an exercise in me just making noise, Lord. Me just filling time. I need you to speak to us, oh God. If we could all together use our voices to thank the Lord for His word, thank the Lord for His presence, thank the Lord for what He's doing, what He's about to do. Let's give Him an ovation of praise right now. I love you, Jesus. Bless you. May be seated. Last Sunday, we celebrated the reality that God has great plans for us. And I hope that for some it was more than just a nice message, but God spoke directly to your life, your situation. From the New Living Translation, I want to just refer back to this one verse that was the center of our message last Sunday, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. I know the original intent was God speaking to Israel, but I believe the Spirit of God can help us claim this for our own lives, and certainly many have. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You got to remember, the disciples didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. They preached from it a lot. Even Jesus spoke from the Old Testament. So I believe that this passage speaks to us today. That's the kind of God that you and I have entered into 2019 with, a God that has plans for us. And I just want you to consider that if you are focused just on your plans, and you ought to have some plans for a new year, for your family, for whatever, but if you're only limiting your life to your plans, then I believe 2019 will be less than best for you, because God's ways are even better than your ways. I've always felt like God can do more with me than I could do with myself. And so as I approach a new year, I'm so thankful that I know that I'm on God's radar. I'm on God's to-do list, if you will. He has a future for me. He has a hope for me. He has a future and a hope for you. I believe, if I could say it this way, He's got a future and a hope for all of us. And I find great confidence in that. And yet, I believe it's important for us to add to that understanding an awareness that God calls us into His purpose. He calls us into what He has for us. I don't ask the Lord what color socks to wear in the morning, but I do believe He directs our lives. And generally, I sense through reading His word and prayer the way He wants me to go. And sometimes, even very specifically, He shows me the next step in a situation and a circumstance. I can tell you, and some of you know, I would be in a mess without Jesus Christ. And I already get in enough mess with Him. So I thank God that He has a plan for me and He calls us into His purpose. What I'd love for us to kind of grab a hold of for a few minutes here is that being called of God is not just for some exclusive club. That being called of God is not limited to perhaps those that are in some sort of professional ministry position or they have a title or position in a church. The scripture says many are called. And if many are called, I want to just believe I could be in that number of those that God is calling to fulfill His purpose. I'm not going to give you every example, but even from the very beginning of God dealing with humanity, we see Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it's not too long that we read their story that we discover they're in trouble. Now, I wanted someone to play Adam and Eve today, but I was afraid of a wardrobe malfunction. So you're just going to have to picture Adam and Eve. They have sinned. They're in the Garden of Eden. And let's pick up in Genesis 3. After they have sinned, it says, verse number 8, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Now, I don't know how you feel, but I look at Adam and Eve, and they didn't have some of the challenges and struggles that you and I have every day. They were in the Garden of Eden. This was before the fall. They didn't have a lot of the thorns and thistles of life that we have to navigate. And yet, even in paradise, if you will, they chose to disobey God. And yet what I love about this passage is that the moment that they sinned, God was calling them. The moment that they failed, God was reaching for them. That's why I can say with assurance that many are called. Because some of the people that feel like they would never be called are people that have failed God, or they feel like they don't know enough about His word to obey Him, or they've just kind of lived their life for themselves. But my brothers and sisters, the first example of human beings turning their back on the word of God was Adam and Eve, and God's response is so clear. He calls them in the middle of their mess. He reaches for them to rescue them. I don't know if you've left any mess in 2018 or if you're here today and you'd say, "Preacher, my whole life is a mess," but I want you to know, don't let your mistakes, your failures, your mess ups, or even the mess ups of others that have impacted you, don't let that dissuade you. Many are called. So let there be something in your spirit that says, "God, I want you to call me." Praise the name of the Lord. I think it is significant that they were called because God was on a mission to restore His relationship with them. He enjoyed walking with them and talking with them. He enjoyed an intimacy, if you will. And so even though they were in sin, He was calling for them. I want to extend that call to all of us today, because in the New Testament we read in Romans 5, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." The New Testament allows us to take from the experience of Adam and Eve and apply it to our lives and say, you know what? Because one man messed up, all of us are messed up. But because God was manifest in flesh and he came to this earth and he didn't mess up, he tore up the plans of Satan for every human being, I can apply to my life the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was purchased by the blood. And I can say, Jesus, over here, I want to have a relationship with you. Jesus, right here, I want to be close to you. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that God is still calling many to repentance even in our day. I know it sounds old-fashioned, but the reason why we preach repentance is not to try to put people on some sort of guilt trip, but because we know repentance is the open door to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our sins will separate us from God, but when we answer the call and we repent of our sins, he forgives us of our sins. When we are washed, we are baptized in his name. He washes our sins away. Hey, it's a good time to answer the call of God to repentance. Again, we don't have Adam and Eve here or somebody playing their part, but can you imagine the relief? They're hiding from God. They feel so ashamed, and yet they can still hear the voice of God. Adam, where are you? Come on, we got to work this out. We got to get this straightened out. I wish somebody would say, you know what? I refuse to believe the lie that penetrates my mind that even when I fail God, that I don't have a chance at more of his love and more of his grace and more of his mercy. I wish somebody would say, many are called and I'm one of the called, and God is calling me to repent today because he wants me to have a closeness to him, a relationship with him. Is there anybody that can raise their hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for calling me. Thank you, Jesus, for reaching for me. I don't deserve it. I could never earn it. I can't even explain it. But thank you, Lord, for calling me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want to pick up at verse number 19. To wit, or to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And look who we are now. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God wants everybody to be forgiven. That's why preachers still preach repentance, because God wants everybody to be reconciled. That's why we still have an old-fashioned altar at this church that we visit every service. I know, and we should all have an altar in our home. Maybe not a physical place, but some place where we get alone with God and say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Or as I like to say, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me. Lead me, God, out of my sin, out of my failure. We still preach repentance, and we still promote the altar, because God is still calling people, and God wants everybody to be forgiven. God wants everybody to be reconciled, and God wants all of us to be ambassadors, spreading the news, sharing the message. Hey, it doesn't matter what separated you from God. He is calling you. It doesn't matter the distance or the time. God is calling you. one translation of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." Sometimes I get a little worked up as pastor when I preach, but it's because somehow, some way, and there's plenty of different ways to do it, this is the way I'm doing it today. He asks me, he charges me to plead with people, come back to God. He asks me, he charges me to beg people, get closer to God. No matter what the past is, no matter what seems to have been in the way, please recognize many are called. And at the start of a new year, God is calling all of us to get a little bit closer to him. And in a crowd this size, God is calling somebody. You've been heading in a direction that's causing you to be more and more distracted and more distant from God, and God is saying, come back, come back, come back. I love you, I want you, I need you, I'm calling you. Praise God. I think every Sunday in 2019 ought to be a Sunday like that particular day that Jesus talked about when a prodigal came to himself and he said, I will rise and I will go to my father's house. My brothers and sisters, I am thankful to be in a church where it doesn't matter where you've come from or what has separated you from the Lord. If you want to get closer to the Father, welcome home. If you want more of Jesus, welcome home. If you're desperate to answer the call of God, you are in the right place today because God is calling many. God is calling many. Oh, would you clap your hands as if to say, thank you, Lord, for calling me. I want to deal with a little something and pass on it. It might make you a little bit uncomfortable, but I think it fits right here. But imagine, if you will, that in some cases, it might be actually a little bit more convenient to assume God would never call me. I mean, have you ever... I feel like I've been there before, and I know some people can't relate, but have you ever sunk so low that it just seemed easier just to lay there and die? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm telling you, that mentality is definitely alive and well in our world, and I don't know where it comes from. Probably a little bit from human nature, but there may even be a spiritual source that at times when we get through a situation, it may be our own struggle, our own sin, or it can be something that has nothing to do with something we've done wrong. Just life has thrown us a curve, and if we're not careful, we start to feel like the way it is the way it's always going to be, and I'm never going to crawl out of this mess. It's just a disaster, and it's almost like we feed off how people respond to our situation. I don't want to get into this too deep because I don't think that would be clear and are true in every case, but I do know there are times when there are reasons, some I cannot comprehend, some that would not apply to somebody here, but there are reasons when we start to thinking, well, he may call him or he may call her, but I don't think he's calling me. If he was calling me, I wouldn't be in this circumstance right now. I urge you to accept the reality that the Bible says many are called. In fact, I believe I can read a couple of scriptures here in just a moment that will convince you the vast majority of people sitting in this sanctuary and alive on this planet are being called by God. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and step out there and say, I believe God is calling everybody. So if you ever get in a situation or a circumstance where you've been convinced by others or by yourself or by your situation that God is not calling me, I beg you to shake yourself and say, wait a minute, I want to be closer to God than this. So as we heard already, I'm going to cry out to God and say, God, let me hear your call. Because I don't want to stay in this place anymore. The first time that Calvary was preached, after Jesus rose from the dead and after he ascended into heaven, the very first time that the message of the cross was preached, God, through his word, gives us the text of what was going on. I pick up in Acts chapter 2, verse number 37. Again, the message of the cross is preached. Jesus died, but he rose again. This is the first time it's preached after the resurrection and the ascension. And this is the response of the crowd. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, this is the response to the cross for every single one of us. This is the response to the resurrection for every single one of us. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 39. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, I'm trying to sound the alarm that those that are called are not part of some exclusive club or some little small group of people that are a little bit more passionate or zealous for God. I don't believe that. I believe many are called. They're not all called Pentecostals. They're not all called Baptists or Catholics. They're not even all called Christians. But many are called. And when they're called, God is drawing them to a place of faith in Jesus Christ that will lead to repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. In fact, the scripture says the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Repentance is for us. Repentance is for me. Repentance is for you, because many are called. Baptism in Jesus' name, by immersion, just like they did in the Bible, it is for me, it's for you, it's for us, because many are called. The infilling of the Holy Ghost, and dare I say, even speaking with other tongues, it's not limited to an exclusive club or a private group or some past select bit of believers. Oh no, it's for as many as the Lord our God shall call, and many are called. And dare I say, God is calling you. God is calling me. God is calling us. In 2019, God is calling. Praise God. If you have never repented, many are called. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, many are called. If you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, many are called. Answer the call today. Amen. Now I got to deal with a little something here before we pray and, you know, whatever you got planned. Look at Matthew 22 again, verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. There's my loophole, preacher. You almost had me. But it's right there. Many are called, but few are chosen. See, I think if we, I don't want to go back there too long because I know it's not popular, but there's a lot of people that would prefer to believe God's not calling me. It's not because they don't love God. It's not because they don't even want more of God. I would hate for us to judge people like we know what's going on inside their hearts. We really don't know. But I will tell you, sometimes answering the call comes at a cost. I mean, when you repent, you answer that call, it literally means an about face. I was going this way away from God in this area. Now I'm turning around. I'm going this way. And everybody back there is not going to understand. And so answering the call, I know he paid it all. But, you know, you're going to make some payments too if you really be honest with yourself. I'm not saying we can save ourselves. That's not the point. You understand. I'm just saying sometimes it's hard to answer the call. But here's what I have discovered, and I have looked at this verse, and many of you have probably studied it as well. Many are called, but few are chosen. I am convinced that the ones who are chosen are the ones who choose to answer the call. I really am certain of that. And I wouldn't want to just try to build that on this one verse, but I would like to show you some other verses because I believe that the Bible can explain itself. That if we have this verse that kind of makes us scratch our head, many are called but few are chosen, does that mean he may be called but he's going to be left out in the cold, or I might be called but because, you know, you're not on the platform right now, you get dissed by God. I just don't know that we serve a God like that. I believe many are called. Many are called. And so we got to deal with this few that are chosen. And the way that I'm dealing with it is to acknowledge that as I study scripture and human existence, I've come to the reality that those that are chosen are the ones that choose to answer the call. Now let's just look at a few verses for you to consider. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now I latch on to the word whosoever. And you know what I come up with? Many are called. I latch on to this idea that the world through him might be saved. And I think, man, the world, that's a lot. That's closer to many than some little private group. Whosoever is closer to a lot than just a few here and there. And so I'm just saying, I've got to embrace the reality that what Jesus did on the cross was for whosoever. It was for the whole world, because many are called. Amen. But let's go a little bit further in that same passage, because I believe it explains the fact that few are chosen. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is where that choice comes in. I'm going to be the Savior of the world. I'm going to die for the sins of everybody. I'm going to get the message out to humanity. And some are going to choose to believe. And some are going to choose not to believe. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because if you choose not to believe, that's where the call ends for you. That's not on God as if he's prejudiced. That's not on God as if he says, well, I choose you, but I don't choose you. No. That's on people. I want to choose to believe because I want to answer the call. I want to choose to believe because I want to answer the call. Look again at this same passage, John 3:16. I'll just go a little bit further. I know time is slipping away from us, but look at verse 19 now. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So think about it this way. You don't have to believe this, but think about it, and then you can decide if you want to believe it. God is calling a whole lot of people. Some are going to believe. Some are not going to believe. So many are called, few are chosen, because the ones that are chosen are the ones that choose to believe.
Amen.
And then he explains a little further that as he's calling everybody, there's going to be some bodies that say, you know, I kind of like darkness. I kind of like my life the way it is. I kind of like my philosophies. I kind of like my traditions. That's good for you, but I've got my own way. And the scripture says if that's the choice you want to make, if you don't want to do the truth, that's where the call ends for you. If you don't want to obey the Bible, that's where the call ends for you. But that's not on God, that's on me. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's not an exclusive club. It's not some private little group. It's open to everybody that says, I choose to believe you. I choose to obey you. I choose to answer the call. Is there anybody that would just kind of raise their hand? I know not everybody can do this, and maybe in your heart you're raising your hand, but could you say, Lord, I'll choose you. I'll choose you every day in 2019. I'll choose you again like I chose you when I was just a little child and I gave my heart to you. I'll choose you, Lord, as I have chosen you in areas of your word where you have challenge me. I'll choose you, Lord, for the future. If you've got plans for me, plans for a future, and plans for a hope, I want to answer the call. I want to choose to believe. I want to choose to obey. I want to receive every aspect of the plan that you have for me. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. As the musicians come, for I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I'm going to be calling you closer to me. I'm going to be calling you for more of me. And if you choose to believe, if you choose to obey, if you choose to answer the call, I'll just keep calling. How many of you know what it's like to call somebody and they don't answer the call? Yeah. How many of you feel that way about me? No, I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. I'm doing better. Isn't there some point where you just say, well, I'm not calling them again? There are times I believe when God is reaching for somebody, God's got plans for a future and a hope. And he keeps calling in services like this. He keeps calling in your private time in the Word. It would amaze us how many people in this sanctuary could tell you a story how they were at work and God showed them something, or they were just a child and God did something supernatural. You would be amazed. You know what that is? It's the call of God. I would just venture to say, and I know this sounds a little bit dramatic, I would not be right where I am if I had not answered the call of God. And what I think we need to realize is that none of you would be right where you are if you had not answered the call of God. Somewhere you said yes enough to be right where you are in this moment. And God is saying it's a new year. And I want to call you into some new things, but you've got to say yes to obeying me. You've got to say yes to believe in me. You've got to somehow carve out space and time to hear my voice and answer my call, because I've got plans for you. And how many of you know that life is so busy? Life has got us going at such a fast pace that you're going to have to be way intentional to listen for the voice of God in 2019. And as much as I would love for someone that has never repented to answer the call, as much as I would love for someone that's never been baptized to answer the call, someone that's never been filled with the Spirit to join us and answer the call today, I just don't think that's where the call ends. I think in His Word and by His Spirit and in your personal relationship with God, many are called. Few are chosen. But let me just say it this way. If you choose to pray, you're going to be called. If you choose to fast, you're going to be called. If you choose to get in His Word just a little bit more, you're going to be called. I know this is a horrible word, but it fits right here. If you choose to submit, you're going to be called. Many are called, but few are chosen. You know who's chosen? The ones that choose at the beginning of a year. God, the holidays were horrendous. I had a blast, but I got so busy. I want to get back to that time of prayer. I want to get back to that daily communion. I may miss a day here or there, but I've got to answer the call. God, I know You've got a lot of things You want to say to me as an individual, and You want to say to us as a church. So on this first Sunday, when I come to pray in just a few moments, I want to make sure You know I'm choosing. I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to obey. I'm choosing to pray. I'm choosing to fast. I'm choosing to submit. I'm choosing to be chosen as one of those that You might call. Would you stand? And so in Acts 9, I think this is a little bit spooky, but this is going to help somebody today. In Acts 9, there's this guy praying. His name is Ananias. And God calls him. And God says, there's a guy named Saul, and I want you to go pray for him. And you read about Acts 9. I'm going to save you the time of reading it right now, but it's in there, Acts 9. Ananias says, time out, Lord. That guy's been killing people like me. People that believe in You, he's been killing them. Now You want me to go pray for him? That's what I want You to do. And Ananias had somehow pushed away enough doubt and enough distraction to answer the call of God. To answer the call of God. You read Acts 9. He goes right up and he says, hey, Brother Saul. This is your lucky day. This is your blessed day. I shouldn't have said lucky day. He said, God sent me to pray for you so you can be baptized and get the Holy Ghost. Because you're a chosen vessel, man. And anybody that's read the New Testament, you know that Saul was converted. We know him as the great Apostle Paul. I mean, the greatest Christian in history, the greatest influence for God outside of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. But it was because somebody said, my life is not about my plans, my impressions, my desires. I'm going to carve out time to pray. And evidently, that prayer is going to be so sincere that God's going to be able to talk to me. And He knows whatever He tells me, I'm going to do it. And this is the goal in 2019 for our church family. That answering the call of God would not just be some out there somewhere, oh yeah, preacher, I got you. But that God would literally lead you to one person that He's wanting to call. On your job, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your family. One person that He's calling through you. That He's reaching through you. Is there anybody that in a moment would you come and pray and say, God, I want to answer that call today. You may be the best Sunday school teacher we have. You may be the best choir member we have. You may be the best greeter we have. All of that has its place, but I'm telling you, the call of God is more than that. And just like He reached for Adam and Eve and everybody else, many are called. There's got to be people on your job He's calling right now. There's got to be people in your sphere of influence He's calling right now. And He wants to use your sensitivity to the call that's on your life to reach them. Would you come and respond to the Word of God? However you choose to do it, we'll just take a few minutes here. I know time has slipped away. I know we have another meeting here in a little while. But how many of you would just answer the call of God? In your own way, guests can come. Friends and family can come. Just answer the call of God. However you want to do it, just come and pray. You may say, well, I don't necessarily want to go to the altar. Then right where you are, would you make an altar right there? But don't be distracted by people around you moving or talking. You seek God and say, God, I want to answer the call for my life, for my family, for my future, for my business, for my ministry. I want to answer the call, God.
Zion is calling me.